It's a blessing to be here tonight, and I want to thank the church for all of your faithful prayers and support for our ministry over the years, and also for the use of the mission home, especially this week as our kids are going to be coming in, and we're going to be using that, and we thank you very much for that. For those who may not know me, I'm Bruce's brother-in-law.
Poor thing.
But please don't hold that against me. We are missionaries. I'm David Lott. This is my wife, Beth. Please stand up. We have been missionaries now for 30 years, 27 years in the country of Guatemala, and now 3 years in the country of Peru. And in just a minute, we'll show you our video. It's a short kind of overview of our ministry. And then I'll tell you a few more things about what's going on there in the field. We came up the first part of May to go to our daughter Rebecca's graduation from Pensacola Christian College for her master's degree. She was the one that said not too many years ago, "I don't want to go to college." And she got her bachelor's degree, and now she has her master's degree in music education, and she's the first of the siblings to get her master's degree. So be careful what you say you don't want to do, because God might just let you do that. We're excited to be able to also be here for the memorial service, and then for a family reunion. We're going to have a kind of a mini family reunion for the Lot side, and then after the memorial service, there'll be a family reunion for all of the Martin side of the family. So pray for that. I think we're going to have 49 people, right? 49 people together in one place. And so we're getting T-shirts made that say, "I survived the Martin family reunion."
That's not what Karen put on.
Oh. Okay.
You know your sister-in-law. She's not going to. Yeah.
But we are grateful for the opportunity to be up here for those different things. We'll be going back just after the first part of July, probably the second week of July. We'll be heading back to Peru, and pray that we're also in the process doing some things with my parents. My dad and my mom turned 77 in September. My dad has Parkinson's, and he is still pastoring the church that he's been pastoring for the last 44 years. He's been pastor down at Grace Baptist Church in Vidor, Texas. So trying to deal with some things with them, both on the health-wise and different aspects of that are needed there. So pray with us about that. I guess we'll show the video now, Brother Jeffrey, and then after that, I'll tell you a little bit more about what's going on that's not included in the video, and then if you happen to have a question or two, I'd be glad to try to answer that before we get into the Word of God. So we'll show the video now. Hello, I'm David.
And I'm Beth.
And we're missionaries in the central jungle of Peru. In 1991, my family and I were sent out from Faith Baptist Church of Temple, Texas, as missionaries to the country of Guatemala. God blessed our ministry there in a wonderful way. During our 27 years of ministry in Guatemala, God allowed us to establish 3 churches and begin several ministries as well. The 3 churches continue to minister, each at their own level and under their own pastors and leadership. Other ministries include monthly pastors' meetings, monthly pastors' wives' meetings, a yearly ladies' camp, and a yearly pastors' camp with international speakers.
Each of these ministries were started by us in Guatemala and continue today. In addition, I had the opportunity to minister through special music, preaching youth camps in Guatemala as well as in the surrounding countries of Central America, teaching in the Hope Bible Baptist Institute in Guatemala City, where dozens of young people have been trained for the ministry as pastors, pastors' wives, and missionaries, as well as developing a hymnal and soundtracks that churches throughout Latin America are using in their services. It has been a blessing to serve the Lord throughout these years. Enjoy some of the fun that we've been having during our years in Guatemala. About 6 years ago, God began working in our hearts regarding a possible move to Peru to work with our son Jonathan as a team. At that point, we knew it wasn't the right timing, but we definitely felt that God was leading us in that direction. It was not a decision we took lightly, but after years of prayer, after seeing the Lord answer many prayer requests regarding our ministry in Guatemala, talking with our son, and counseling with our pastors every step along the way, we felt that God was definitely in it. Peru is a beautiful and diverse country, but it is also a very large country. Peru has a landmass almost twice the size of Texas and more than 11 times the size of Ohio. It has a population of 33 million people, with close to a third living in Lima, the country's capital. Another third live along the coastal cities and in the south. And another third live in the Andes Mountains and Amazon jungle basin on the east side of Peru. In April of 2018, God finally allowed us to make the move to Peru. God blessed, and the transition from Guatemala directly to Peru was almost flawless. In just over a month, our residencies were granted, our house was rented, a vehicle was purchased, and our container from Guatemala was delivered to San Ramon in the central jungle. Within weeks, I started to teach in the Bible Institute in San Ramon on Thursdays and began traveling an hour and a half one way on Fridays to the town of Villarrica to begin a satellite of the Institute in a Baptist church there. I have several students that I have been teaching for the last year in Villarrica.
Hello, brethren. We greet you in the name of our Lord. We are from the Bible Baptist Church of Villarrica. We are very happy about the institute that was started last year. For us, it was very complicated to study far away. But thanks to Pastor David Lott, who we met last year, he has had the initiative to work with the church. And the ones you see here are registered in the institute. We are happy and have a desire to learn more each day.
That's right. It's a great opportunity and blessing from our Lord, who gives us the privilege to have an institute here in Villarrica, to help us put things into practice and to reach out to more people who need to know Christ. We are very thankful and content, and we send a greeting to each of you.
Amen.
For years, my son Jonathan has had a burden for having a full-time Bible college, for receiving boarding students from other areas of the country. In July of 2018, God began to answer that request by allowing us to purchase 15 acres on the top of a nearby mountain, specifically for that purpose.
We were hoping to be able to receive our first students this year, but the legal paperwork for the Bible college has taken longer than expected, so we continue to function as a Bible institute for those in the San Ramon area for the present. Please make this a matter of prayer. Vitoc is a small town about 20 minutes from San Ramon, with a population of just a few hundred people, but people who still need the gospel. It is one of the oldest towns in the Central Jungle region, established in 1871. After sharing the gospel for some time in this small town, we held our first services at the beginning of this year. We were so pleased to have more than 10 adults in our first services there. Praise the Lord, several have made public professions of faith since we began ministering in Vitoc.
Starting in March of 2020, our world changed and so did our ministry. With the coronavirus came many restrictions, even for getting out of our houses for a good while. But ministry goes on. For much of 2020, services were held online via Zoom or Facebook Live. But we also met in our home and most recently have been allowed back into the church building. But we have to meet on Saturdays because of the curfew rules on Sundays. We have also developed some new tracks and new animated tracks for use online. Recently, Beth and I did a 10-hour Sunday school workshop for a Baptist church about 3 hours away. And God has also opened the door to work with the Yanisha Indian tribe.
We're here in the town or the village of Alto Yurinaki, Upper Yurinaki. It is a village of the Yanisha Indian tribe. And we have been here this week teaching a course on the Holy Spirit. And we've been very impressed and very gracious to the Lord for the response of the people here to the teachings that we've been giving. They're learning a lot, according to them, and things that they've never seen in the light of the scriptures. And we praise the Lord for what He's doing here in this little village. It's our first time of teaching here. We are here by invitation from the Yanisha Church here. That is kind of a Bible church, non-denominational in that type of sense. But it's an open door for us to teach the truth of Scripture to these people. And they've already seen a good amount of differences between what not this church in particular, but the group of churches that they belong to are leaning toward and involved in, and that they need to get back to biblical principles. And I thank the Lord for that. They have a really open spirit and a teachable spirit. And that's what we've been praying for, and we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to be doing in the future. They're already asking us to come back to give another seminar in the near future, and we're going to be making plans to not only teach here in this village, but in some of the other Yanisha villages where the Lord would open the door for us to be able to reach into these communities and have an impact for the gospel. Continue to pray for us. We do appreciate your faithfulness and praying for our ministry here in Peru. God's working, and we thank the Lord for that. God bless.
There is much work to be done in the central jungle of Peru. While other areas of the country, such as Lima, Trujillo in the north, and Arequipa in the south, have had a lot of missionary activity over the years, the central jungle area has been somewhat forgotten.
Please pray for us as we continue to develop our ministry here in the central jungle of Peru. We'd like to thank each of you who have faithfully supported our ministry over the years. And if you haven't been part of our ministry, we encourage you to partner with us for the salvation of souls in Peru. May God bless you.
Okay. I knew he'd flip that switch. A few things I'd like to share with you. First of all, I didn't mention it during the prayer time, but please pray for Peru. The elections are still in the balance. I don't know if any of you have seen it on the news up here. I don't know if it has been on the international news up here. It has been online on the international news, but I don't know if on the television broadcast. They had their presidential elections back the 1st of April, and as in many Latin countries, they had 20-something candidates for president. And so it happens just about in every country, and so there's always a runoff election with the two that have the highest amount of votes. Well, as a fluke, this time, a nobody got 13%, which was the highest amount of any candidate, and the second place got 11%. The two people who were on the runoff election this last Sunday, man's name is Castillo, and he is an out-and-out proclaimed Marxist communist. And the candidate who is running against him is a former dictator's daughter who has been in jail already twice for corruption and is under investigation for a third time. And they are at 98-point-something% of votes tallied, and there is less than a half a point difference, a percentage point difference between the two, and the communist is in the lead. So he has already declared that he wants to change the Constitution. Actually, there's a video we saw this week on Facebook that showed alternating clips between Hugo Chavez and Castillo, and it's almost word for word. He's taken the playbook of Chavez, although he says he's not Hugo Chavez. Well, no, he's not. He's Castillo, but he's taken Chavez's playbook and... Chavez from Venezuela, yes, that has already passed away, but he led Venezuela into communism. So there is a lot at stake right now, and it doesn't look good as far as the political scene. We have been very much praying. Obviously, humanly speaking, we want, even though she's corrupt, she's at least for democracy in the country, we would like to see her win. But we have been praying that God would do what is necessary for the majority of Peruvians to trust Christ as their Savior. And that may be fall into communism. We don't look forward to that, obviously. And so just be in prayer for that. Several other things that I wanted to mention from that were slightly mentioned in the video. The land that we got on the top of the mountain, the 15 acres that we've purchased up there, we were told before we purchased it, because we tried to investigate, that we could get lights up there, that, you know, we'd be able to, yeah, mm-hmm. Well, Latin America is, the result of that is they said, oh no, we'd have to do a study and it's going to be really costly and all that kind of stuff. Plus, during rainy season, the road has multiple landslides on it going up there. So to have people actually living on that piece of land is not wise. And this rainy season, the what they call the platform of the road going up there washed away in one spot. So we're not even sure what they're going to do for us to be able to get up to our land right now. It's still usable for planting crops, for different things, and eventually we might sell that piece of land. But God has, and I don't want to take a lot of time with this, and I'm not going to tell you all the details. If you want to know, talk to me afterwards. But we've had two or three different opportunities to either get land or a house or something for the Bible Institute to have boarding students from different parts of the Central Jungle as well as other parts of Peru. four times things have fallen through at the very last minute. We had a house that we were about to buy, and it was a foreclosed house that the bank was willing to take the payment for that the man owed for the house, and we had money in hand. We had already gone and got paperwork checked out to make sure everything was good, and the bank decided they didn't want to do that. They wanted to put it up for auction. So through all of this, God has allowed us to potentially, it's not ours yet, but potentially get the piece of land that we originally wanted, but the owner of the land was asking $200,000 for 5 acres of land. And it's worth a lot of money. It's not worth that much money, obviously, but it's worth a lot of money just because of the location where San Ramon's at and everything. But he has finally settled on a price of $60,000 for it. And that is a very good price for the piece of land that it is. Jonathan was supposed to sign the papers on it Monday, but because of the elections and a few other details I won't go into, it wasn't possible to do it on Monday, and so he's come up here. It belonged to another man who is leaving the country on the 18th, but he's leaving power attorney with his mother-in-law. He's moving to New Zealand, he trusts us very much. We've known him about 5 years. John has known him longer, about 5 years. I've known him about 3 years since we've been there. So that looks like a great opportunity. It's the flattest piece of land just across the river from the town of San Ramon, like 100 yards from the bridge. So we're praying that deal does not fall through. If it does, God has something else. We know that. But this was the original piece of land we really wanted, but for the price, we didn't want it. And so pray with us about that. The church is on its own for the next 3 or 4 weeks while Jonathan comes up, and the two churches there are on their own. So be in prayer for them while we're away. There are some men that have been doing some teaching, but they're very new at it. So we're praying for them as they shake their way through their teachings, at least their knees. And I know that God will use them while we're up here. Seems like there was one other thing I wanted to mention. The Yanisha Indian Tribe. God has opened a big door there, and Lord willing, we'll be going back at the end of August for our second opportunity to teach at that church. What I didn't mention in the video is at the end of that week of teaching, that Saturday, they had a meeting with about 6 or 10, some of them we weren't sure if they were pastors or not, they're leaders in their churches, but it represented about 10 different congregations. That had a meeting that they already had scheduled, but they wanted us to present the Bible college there. And at first they were very resistant because they're a very, very closed tribe. And after talking to us and answering questions with them and that type of thing, they warmed up and they're wanting to have us back in. And we're hoping to be able to do at least a week-long intensive course every couple of months for the rest of this year, and then possibly do it in other churches among the Yanisha people during the course of next year. Also, they have contact with a different Indian tribe through their churches that may be opening up. And this tribe is a tribe of about 30,000 people, and the other tribe is a tribe of about 60,000 people. So God is opening some doors there that we are excited about. We're taking our time. We want to be cautious. And one testimony I want to share from that week, I taught on the Holy Spirit that week. And when we got to the part about the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer from when they trust Christ and everything, and then we got off a little bit on the Pentecostal doctrines of speaking in tongues and receiving the Holy Spirit later and that type of thing. When we were showing them what the Bible said, the older man that was in the video there, he is one of the leaders amongst all of the Yanisha churches. And he stood up and gave testimony that several years back, he and several Yanisha pastors were at another meeting, and a Methodist leader, I don't know if it was somebody from the exterior or a national man, told them that asked them if they had spoken in tongues. And he said, well, we have spoken in our tongue. And he said, but not in other tongues. And he said, well, if you haven't spoken in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And so this man began to pray for each one of these Yanisha pastors. And he said, nothing happened.
Hey.
Except for years, this 70-year-old man, being a pastor and a leader amongst his people, has said, I have lived in the fear of not having the Holy Spirit. And I know now that I do.
Amen.
And so that was worth a whole week for me. But so pray with us about that. We're really excited about the doors God's opening. We have, because of COVID has been a negative thing for a lot of people in a lot of ways, but because of COVID, the Bible College has expanded the number of people that we're teaching online. I don't know how many Bruce has had from Peru, but we've had 15, sometimes 20 people in the classes now when we were having 3 and 4 in San Ramon before COVID started. So, and even there is a couple in Lima that are very seriously contemplating when we have our boarding college to come to San Ramon to study. So those are all tremendous blessings and open doors, and we covet your prayers for that. I don't know if there's any quick questions before I share something from the Word of God. Yes?
I want to share that y'all are working with TTU.
Yes.
A lot of people here at the church might not know that.
Okay. Yes. The Central Jungle. I'm trying to translate from Spanish. Central Jungle. I can't even say it now. Central Jungle Bible College is under the patrocinio
sponsorship.
Thank. Not the authority, the sponsorship of Texas Theological University. And the degrees that we're offering there are associate's degree and bachelor's degree from TTU. And then Jonathan and I and Bruce right now are the main teachers for the Bible College there in Spanish. And then we're also, Bruce is working on some stuff now with another Bible institute and college in Mexico to be able to make some ties there for sharing teaching responsibilities and that type of thing. So there's a lot going on, and we praise the Lord for that and for TTU and for what they're doing also with the work there in Peru. Any other questions right quick? Yes, ma'am.
The Indian church, do they mm-hmm. believe in Jesus?
Yes. There is a man, the way we got contact, you're only allowed to go into some of these Indian tribes by invitation. The man that is there that was our contact is a man that came from Jonathan's wife's church. She's Peruvian, and she grew up in a Baptist church there in Lima. And he is not a preacher or a Bible teacher. He's sound doctrinally, but he went out there by invitation to teach the people in that, to be the coach for the soccer team. And his wife is also a licensed teacher, so she's helping out with the school some. But because of his relationship with them, he was talking to the people in the church there, and they invited us to go and to meet with them. He said there is a possibility that several of them may not be saved because of a lot of those churches tend to teach a salvation that you can lose because they're salvation by works. But from the ones that were there that week, we had 11 in the class that week, and probably at least half of them, I feel, are saved. They The churches in the Yanisha tribe were started by Wycliffe translators about 60 years ago. That little bitty church you saw there was 60 years old. But they don't know that they could have the Holy Spirit when they get saved. So, and they're learning what the Scripture says. And that's our prayer, is to teach them truth. And then from that eventually there would be either a desire for some of those churches to become Baptist churches, or at least to break away and form Baptist churches among their people.
Amen.
So that's our goal long term. But right now we're just teaching them truth and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts to show them that what they've been taught and what they've been practicing is not Bible. Mm-hmm. And so we had a really good time there, even in that discussion. Yanisha tribe is the 30,000. This is the tribe we've worked with already. The other tribe is Ashenika, that's about 60,000, and they're further into the Amazon area. Now, you saw them in their native dress there. They dress basically like you and I do, but that is their traditional costume that they put on for the last day they were there. They wanted to surprise us. They played their little flutes and did their little ceremonial thing. They said that it's just something they do to show their culture there.
They have a translation?
They have, I don't know how good it is because I don't know Yanisha, but they do have a Bible translation. It's very similar to Chiapas. Mm-hmm. Two ladies went in 60 years ago and lived with them for 25 years and developed the language and gave them the Bible translation. So I imagine it's probably not a great translation, but they do have a Bible translation. Although when I was there, everybody used the Spanish Bible. And it was really good because some of them had other versions. And when we started telling them why we used the 60, and we took Bibles to sell there, and they said, oh, okay. And they started buying the 1960 version. So we're already getting them on the right version of the Bible anyway. So the young people don't speak the Yanisha language much. They understand it because their parents speak it and stuff, but they don't speak it hardly at all. They'll know some words here and there, but they're almost their native language now is Spanish for the, I'd say if they're 30 and under. The older ones, their native heart language is Yanisha. But it's like in many cultures, they're just losing their language because of the influence of the Spanish trade and that type of thing. Good questions. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
What in that video, there wasn't any surrounding area shown. Do they farm that and have livestock and what?
They don't have livestock. Well, if you count chickens as livestock, they have chickens. They have chickens, but they don't have any cattle in that. It's very, very mountainous. Most of them work on their farms that there they call chacras, and they plant mainly coffee, bananas, avocados, citric type trees, oranges, and that type of thing. It is jungle. So in that area, there's a lot of bugs that eat up, like for doing a vegetable garden, that type of thing. It's hard to grow like tomatoes and things like that without saturating them with chemicals.
So what they're doing is they farm a product.
Yes.
And then sell it.
Yes, sir.
For the commodities.
Yes, sir. Okay. They take it in and sell it to the, I guess, wholesalers or whatever, that they then take it to Lima or for some of them for export out of the country. Peru is the number one, right, for blueberries? It's the one.
Blueberries and avocados.
Peru is the number one or number two exporter in the whole world for blueberries and avocados. So next time you're in Walmart and get blueberries, it might say imported from Peru. Mm-hmm. Grapes, too. They have a lot of grape, sir. And coffee. Yeah. Yeah. Villarrica has very good coffee. So, okay, if you would open your Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 15, I'm not going to be very long. Matter of fact, my time's gone already.
That's
I just want to speak for a few brief moments from Genesis chapter 15. I'll read the first three verses, and then we'll reference some others as we go through here. The Bible says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing that I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, no one born in my house is mine heir." Let's go to the Lord in word and a word of prayer. Father, I pray you'd bless the sharing of your word tonight, that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us. And I pray it will be a blessing to our hearts. Guide my thoughts, Lord, and my words. And we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This is not going to be a missions message, and it's just going to be a little bit brief. I'm going to basically give you the outline because our time's pretty much gone. But have you ever had to walk in the dark? Most of us have done that in our houses. And if you've ever been on vacation in a place you're not used to and you wake up in the middle of the night and need to go to the restroom, and, you know, you're moving the furniture around with your toes and that type of thing. When we walk in the dark, it's uncertainty for us. But the same thing happens spiritually. Sometimes we get to a place in our lives when we're not sure what the next step is. And Abram was at this point in his life. God had already promised to make of him a great nation. And he says, I don't even have a son, Lord. What are you doing? And sometimes we can get to the point where we may not verbalize it, but thoughts may cross our minds such as, God, you've abandoned me. Or, God, are you finished with me? Or, something is wrong. God must not be happy with me right now. Because we've come to sort of a dead-end street or a dark place in our life, not dark in the sense of sinister and evil, but just a place where we don't see how to take the next step, where to go in our journey. And Abram gives us several clues here of things we can do. And the first thing we find that he did is that he had a submissive heart to God. In verse 4 it says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou shalt be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." He basically had two questions. What are you going to give me, Lord? And how will I know that I'm going to inherit it? And that's down in verse 8 where he says, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And verse 7, I should have read to verse 8 and not stopped at verse 6. So let's read verse 7 and 8. "And he said unto him, I am the Lord God that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" He asking these two questions, and he's not complaining. He's not griping at God. He's just not sure what to do. He's looking for wisdom in this situation. And in the previous chapter, if you know the story, Abram has gone and there was a situation where his nephew had gotten into a situation through an enemy attacking where he was at, and Abram went to liberate him. And then the king of Sodom wanted to give him the spoils of what he had done. And Abram says in verse 23, chapter 14, verse 23, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. He trusted God, not in men. And he had submitted his heart to God. My question is,
Have you submitted your heart to God?
Amen.
It's one thing to say that we're saved. Abraham was already a believer. But have you submitted your heart to God? And so the second thing we see is God led him to put his focus on God himself. He took him outside and he said, look to the stars. He said, look up and see what you see here. And he wants us to put our focus on him. God always wants the best for our lives. I've told young people that and I've told adults that. He doesn't want something good for your life. He wants the best for your life. Now, what is the best for your life may not be what you think is the best for your life. But in the long run, you will see that it's the best for your life. And he wants the best for our life. And why does Abram even mention Eliezer here? Maybe he was trying to spiritualize the situation. You ever try to do that? God speaks to our heart about something. We say, well, maybe God means this. Well, God said this, though.
Right.
He says what he means. And we shouldn't try to spiritual. It's a spiritual book. I understand that. But God speaks to us clearly through his word.
Amen.
We don't have to spiritualize him. What does this mean? And what does that mean? And there are types in the Bible. Don't get me wrong. I understand all that thing. But the point is that we need to take God at his word because he will always be faithful to his word. And don't be satisfied with less than what God has for you. I have tried to pray for many years now. Lord, this is what we would like. Peru, the elections. Lord, we would like, we wouldn't even like Keiko to win, but that's the only other option. We would like the Democratic candidate to win versus the Communist candidate. But what we want is what you want.
That's right.
We want your best for the situation. There was a little picture I saw on Facebook one time, maybe you've seen it, of a person supposed to be Jesus talking to a little girl, and she's there. She's like maybe 4 or 5 years old, and she's got her teddy bear in her arm. And Jesus is asking for her teddy bear. But what she doesn't see is behind Jesus' back, he's got a bigger teddy bear. You see, we think we want what we think we want. The problem is we don't know what God has for us.
That's right.
And when we really understand what God has for us, then we won't want what we want. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I hope it does, because I don't know how to say it any other way. Where's your focus? Number three, in the darkness we have to search for the stars. He took him outside and he made a promise to him. And I'm not talking about astrology. Don't go looking for your horoscope. He took him outside and told him, have you ever, not in Dallas-Fort Worth anymore, but have you ever been out in the country and looked up at night and seen all of the stars like that? It's amazing. And he says, can you count all those, Abram? Lord, no way. He says, I'm going to make your seed like that. That's going to be your descendants. It was a promise from God. We have this book full of promises from God.
Amen.
What promises are you claiming in your life? But he went out and he looked up and he refused the riches of Sodom because he said he wanted to trust in the God. Look in verse 22, chapter 14, verse 22. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And God told him, look at verse 1 of chapter 15. After these things, after Abram refused the riches of the king of Sodom, he says, the word came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
There it is.
I'm your reward. I'm your reward. And in verse
6, we find that verse that just jumps out from the chapter, and it says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." That is the Old Testament foundation for the entire book of Romans and Galatians. Believe in the Lord, and it's counted to you for righteousness. It's not works.
That's right.
It never has been, and never will be.
Amen.
It's all by God's grace.
Amen.
And then Abram had to walk in the dark. He said, "What will you give me?" And what did the Lord give him? His word.
Right.
You know what the Lord is going to give you? His word.
Right.
He's given you His word. He wants you to know Him, to grow in Him, and to keep your focus on Him.
Yeah.
And how are we going to learn to walk in the dark? By saying to the Lord, "Lord, I don't understand. You're going to have to teach me." Psalm 25:5, I'll just read it for you, says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." He said, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me." We need God to teach us what we need to do. Sometimes we need to stay right where we are. Sometimes we need to take another step into the dark. Into the dark. If He tells you to step into the dark, you go into the dark. Or, through His Word, as it says in Psalm 119, His Word will be a light into our path for that next step that we need to take.
That's right.
We have to walk in the dark. He will draw us to Himself, and we can follow Him. Why do I not walk with God in the darkness under the stars? It's because we don't believe Him. If we believe Him, we will.
Yes, sir.
The question is, when He shows you the way and why, if you're going to believe, then you will. And the question is, are you walking or are you just stopped and scared to walk forward? Then in verses 9 through 18, we won't take the time to read all of that, but God does a deal where Abram takes different animals, tells him to take different animals and to part them and to lay them out there, and it gets really dark. Look at verses 11 and 12. Says, "And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him." Abram's already in the dark. He's out looking at the stars. But it said a great darkness fell upon him. And in this situation, it's speaking of the enemy coming to attack us. Because the fowls come to try to take the sacrifice. And Abram's trying to keep the birds away and that type of thing. And Satan is always going to oppose us.
Yes,
sir. Anytime we try to make a connection between ourselves and God. How many of you have the 31st of December made a resolution you're going to read through the Bible next year? And you do really good the first week. And the next week, you don't do really good. Are there that many Christians that are wimps and weak and no discipline and everything? You know what? I'm not going to say yes. But we have to realize that whenever we try to make a spiritual connection with God, our connecting with Him greater, it's not just that we're not faithful to stay connected to Him. We have an enemy fighting against us. Whether it's your prayer life, your devotionals, coming to church faithfully, whatever you're trying to do to connect with God and be closer to God, you have an enemy fighting against you.
That's right. Yeah.
That's why you have to walk in the dark, guided by the Lord. And how are you going to handle these attacks? James chapter 4, verse 7 says, you know how most people quote that verse? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And you know what? Those who quote that verse that way fail every time. Because that's not how that verse is quoted. It starts out, submit yourselves therefore to God. Then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why? Because you have submitted yourself to God first. If you're trying to resist, I'm a Christian, I can resist God on my own. No, you can't. I resist Satan. Thank you. Well, there's some Christians that resist God on their own too. Yeah. We won't go there. But when dark times come, be assured darker times will come. Because Satan wants to destroy you. What was the first thing Abram heard in the dark? You know what the first thing Abram heard in the dark was? Verse 13, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land. And if you read those verses, he's telling Abram, listen, you're not going to inherit, you personally, you're not going to inherit all this. You're going to go down to Egypt. There are going to be four generations there. They're going to be in slavery down in Egypt. And then they're going to come back. And you're going to die a ripe old age. You're going to be okay. Don't worry about it. But it'll be later when all this happens. And Abram still believed the Lord. And what happens in verse 15, he says, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. God was faithful. God tells you how big your inheritance will be. In verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt, the Nile River, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Yeah. He said, that's going to be what I give you.
Yeah.
We need to walk under the stars with God. And when he looked at the stars, he couldn't discern their orbits. He couldn't count them. He didn't understand their purposes. He couldn't see the beginning or the end of them. But he believed God.
Amen.
Are you believing God this evening? That's what we need to do. When you're walking in the dark, you have to believe God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that your word is to us. I thank you, Lord, for all that you have done, both in Guatemala as well as in Peru. I thank you for what you've done here at Metropolitan Baptist Church, and I pray that you would continue to bless this church and the ministries that she has in different areas. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anybody here that is in a place right now that they feel like they're in the dark as to where you want them to go, I pray that they would get in your word. I pray that they would find promises from your word, looking to those stars and believing the promises that you give them. And Lord, that you would be faithful to guide them. Help them to understand that Satan wants to destroy their fellowship and their connection with God. But Lord, you're greater than Satan.
Yeah, that's right.
Your promises are faithful. And I pray that you would just bless each person as they trust in you and believe in you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, brother.
Amen. Amen. I just wanted to share a couple things. You know, we thank you so much for the Word of God this evening, Brother David. It was super, super. And I appreciate the Lots very much. Mentioned the college and the cooperation there. It's a mutual thing. They're a blessing We're trying to be a blessing to them for the college there in Peru, but they've been a tremendous help to us.
Brother David
and his son Jonathan, and it really expanding. Brother Bruce has been working for years with teaching Spanish in Spanish Bible classes and theology classes. But over the last, is it a year yet? About a year?
2 or 3 years.
Well, I mean, since...
Since we started meeting with y'all, probably about a year.
Yeah. Every Tuesday, 11 o'clock, we have a college meeting. Almost every Tuesday. And because of technology of the day, David and their son Jonathan also sit in on those meetings with us. And they've been a tremendous help. Of course, it's collaboration both on the... It's easy. I can say that because I'm the pastor and the chancellor and all that, but it's a collaboration. I sit there and smile, and they all talk about what they're doing. But it's been tremendous help. Even in our college handbook, Brother David helped revamp all that, and it's a much, much better quality thing. And so please, this evening, express your gratitude. They've got to start heading to the airport before too long. So they don't have a whole lot of time. Their son Jonathan and his family's due in. They're supposed to hit the ground 9:15.
9:05.
Oh, okay. Well, you got some time then. So please express your gratitude to them going out this evening. We are very, very grateful for that. Father, again, we just thank you for this evening. Thank you for the time with the Lots. Thank you for our time with you. Very obvious, very evident, your Spirit's presence tonight, and I'm thankful of that. I pray, Lord, I don't know what the need might even be in this room tonight. Indeed, there might be someone struggling in some area, pray for them. Pray you'd be pleased to help them as they feel they're walking in the dark. But, Lord, you're there. You're there for them as they trust you, believe you, even as ancient Abraham did. Pray for anyone who might be in this room this evening that does not have that confidence, that peace, that they know Jesus Christ. Please, Lord, work in those hearts. Show them Jesus. And we'll give you all the glory, all the praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.